You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
So we're not going to open this week's show in the usual way with me popping off for 5 or 10 minutes about whatever it is that requires popping off about right now. Instead, Nancy and I want to have a little chat.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh,
I was talking to them.
Sorry about that.
See, I'm so mad.
You are mad. What is it that you're mad about?
I'm mad about what every thinking female is mad about right now, which is the possibility of this dreadful Kavanaugh character becoming a Supreme Court justice. It kind of makes me feel a little rankled.
The possibility of a sexual predator in chief in the Oval Office appointing his second justice to the Supreme Court, who will then rule for 30, 40 years on the rights of women in this country.
Yeah, it's pretty horrifying.
And has pledged, as Trump pledged during the campaign, to vote to repeal, to overturn Roe v. Wade and criminalize abortion and kill women.
Pretty much. Yeah.
We were talking before the show. Usually it works like this. I show up, Nancy and I say hello, and I sit down and make some notes to rant about something at the top of the show. And Nancy asked me what I was going to rant about and suggested that I rant about this, rant about how women are feeling across the country. And I challenged Nancy to actually sit down and have a conversation with me about how women are feeling rather than me as a man running my mouth, that maybe we should talk.
Yeah, okay. I had been hoping that you would say something to the men out there just to encourage them and to guide them on how to be allies. That was sort of what I was thinking. There's been a lot on, you know, on social media about that, but I personally lap it up. I can't get enough of it.
I feel like we talk to men on this show a lot. What is it that you feel men need to hear right now?
I would like for men to talk to each other. Feminist men need to talk to each other and to their less
woke.
Enlightened. I woke, can't say woke. My teenage daughter doesn't let me say woke. She rolls her eyes. they're less enlightened brothers on how to support the women in their lives right now, personally and politically. Like, you know, I mean, we've all heard this a million times, but men, you have to step up. It's time. You have to step up and take responsibility for this. We're so tired.
In the same way that straight people have to step up for queer people, cis people have to step up for trans people, white people have to step up for people of color.
Yes, we do.
Men have to step up for women, particularly at this moment. I don't think a lot of men realize how traumatizing the last week, the last 2 weeks have been for women.
Yeah, it's I'll tell a story. Yesterday I went swimming and I like to swim and I'm pretty good. I'm pretty fast. And you know how it is when you're sharing a lane with other people, that it's always a little fraught. There's a little competition. There's a little wondering like who's going to pass the other. And you also have to make room for the other. And I wasn't having it. I was taking up as much space as I possibly could. I was like looking forward to actually kicking somebody by accident. Like I was just so angry. And then I was thinking like, multiply me time millions, so many angry women out there and all these men who are having to deal with us.
I think that that is one important way that men can communicate to women that they are listening, they're empathetic, and they care, is to make space, to make room. And sometimes that means getting the fuck out of the way. And that can play out rhetorically, politically. You can elevate somebody else's voice instead of popping off. I think that's what we're hoping to do right now, that you and I are having a conversation rather than me just talking straight for 10 minutes. But also, you know, and I've always been conscious of this, even as a gay guy, like it's the middle of the night, I'm walking down the street and I realize I'm like 20 steps behind some woman who has a legitimate reason to fear me, even though I can't run up to her and say, hey, I'm a gay. so I will like cross the street. I will go another block over and give her some space and give her some room. But we can do that. Men can do that in lots of ways and should be conscious of when and where you can make space.
Yeah.
Physically, rhetorically, politically for women.
Yeah. Yeah. Shut up and listen to us. And then confront your fellow men when they say the wrong thing and do it in a way that actually has an impact. I mean, we can't be there for those conversations because it's going to happen in your own spaces. But we're just begging you to start doing this, please.
There's a post that's circulating on Facebook that went viral, and we don't know who the author is, but we want to read a couple of the items from it because we think it really captured what men need to hear right now. And rather than me reading it in my dude voice, Nance is going to read a few of these things.
Okay, so I read this on, and I'm just going to credit the person who reposted it because I think it's important. His name is DJ Riz, and he's like one of these, he's like a fixture in our community here in Seattle.
Iconic.
He's basically the mayor of Seattle. Hi, Riz. We love you so much, and thank you for posting this. So I'm just going to read a few of these points here. Point number three, and you know, you can look this up yourselves, folks. Talk to other men in real life. Be vigilant during casual conversation at the gym, on the bus, at home, while drinking, whatever. If you're with other men, be the one who calls them out when they say something shitty, right? Stand up for the women in your life. Respect consent religiously. And if you've fucked up in the past, fucking do better moving forward. No one's perfect and you don't have to be, but you do have to be working on improvement. And march, rally, attend an event. Get off your ass. Go with a woman to a public event. These are hard, I know, but for me personally, says this writer, nothing means more than seeing someone physically getting off their ass to stand in solidarity with me. Hear, hear.
There are 8 items on this list, and the list is going viral on Facebook. You can Google a little chunk of one of the items that Nancy read to find your way to the entire list, and we would encourage you to do that. And, you know, no one's perfect. I'm sure there are times that I didn't get out of the way, times I didn't shut up, and times I said the wrong thing. So I'm not holding myself up as some beacon of virtue and light and perfection. We all have to work at this. We all have to get better at this. And I think a lot of men, myself included, have blind spots where gender comes into play because we are the dominant gender. Just like a lot of white people aren't aware of their white privilege or how it functions, a lot of straight people aren't aware of their straight privilege and how it functions, men aren't particularly made acutely aware of their male privilege. If you're on the receiving end of that or you lack it, you are hyper aware of it. Which is why it's important for straight people to converse with their queer friends and cis people to converse with their trans friends and men to converse with the women in their lives about their experience. Not to tell them about their experience, but to listen.
Yeah. Yeah, please do. That sounds great.
And this would be a good week to do that. This would be a good week to reach out to the women closest to you. Don't like grab some woman on the bus. Don't use this as an excuse to get in someone's face or get someone's fucking number. But the wife, the sister, the mother, the daughter, the niece, the aunt, the women in your life, your friends and family.
And in these times, if you're a man, and there's like any woman in your life, just know that even if you don't realize it, she's angry.
And probably going to get angrier as this week unfolds. It's this compromised, pseudo-bullshit Potemkin FBI investigation into Kavanaugh's alleged sexual assaults. As this unfolds over the next week and we get to the vote on Kavanaugh, the women who are angry in your life right now are probably going to be a lot angrier a week from now or 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, it's not going to get much better real soon. But I do think things are going to get better. And just like with Black Lives Matter, like this stuff's been going on. It's not that it's getting worse. It's just that now we're putting a spotlight onto it. And it's the same with sexual harassment and rape. Like these college parties have been going on forever and people just didn't complain about it. And now suddenly we're talking about it, and that is progress, as painful as it is.
I don't want to imply that everything we've said is impractical, but one practical, tactile thing that you can do right now if you want to do something, November is coming if Kavanaugh makes it onto the court. We have a chance to impeach Kavanaugh if the Dems take Congress. So there are record numbers of women running for Congress all over the country. Get online, find a woman candidate running for Congress. Open your fucking wallet and throw some money her way. Help build in 2018 what we saw in 1992 after the Anita Hill hearings. Another year of the woman. A democratic wave, but also a woman's wave.
Yeah.
Thank you for chatting with me.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
I know you hate it when I drag you in front of the microphone, but
it makes me feel kind of awkward.
You're not awkward. You're genius.
Aw, thanks. So, Dan, you got to tell them about the guest on the show.
Oh, right. Coming up on this week's show, on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, we've got Brooke Urich from Seeking.com, a sugar baby, sugar daddy, sugar mama website to talk about that phenomena and talk about when that goes south. And on the Magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast, which is twice as long and no ads, you can subscribe to that at savagelovecast.com. We have tons more Q's and lots more A's. That is on the Magnum. All that coming up on this week's show. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. For a limited time, get up to 20% off everything at Blinds.com when you use the promo code SAVAGE.
Thanks to ModCloth for supporting the Savage Lovecast. For 15% off your purchase of $100 or more for one-time use, go to modcloth.com and enter code SAVAGE at checkout.
Me Undies makes feel-good underpants your butt will be proud to wear and you will be proud to be seen in. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own. And to check it out yourself, go to MeUndies.com/savage.
Hi, Nancy, Dan, and a tech-savvy at-risk youth. I am a cisgender heterosexual woman. I am calling because I started to see this man just a few dates, and we started out kind of slow, making out, and I forget if it was like our second or third date. Things got a little heavier, and, you know, we were kind of about to start having sex, and we're really responsible, talked about protection, and then he asked me, well, he actually stated that he is not ready to have children, and that he needed to know that I would have an abortion if I were to get pregnant. And I told him, well, I have an IUD. I'm not ready to have children either. And we can use a condom. And that still wouldn't satisfy him. He needed me to verbally confirm that I would have an abortion. And I could not do that. So we didn't sleep together. And we connected in so many other ways. And I'm super into this guy and intrigued by him. But none of my girlfriends or I can really figure that part out. What do you think?
He's not being rational. An IUD is 99.9% effective. Add a condom to that, IUD plus condom, and the odds of him impregnating you, the odds of abortion or having the child being an issue post this dude fucking you are infinitesimally small, vanishingly small. It is not going to happen. That said, I did overhear a couple of guys in a bar once talking, and one guy said his girlfriend has an IUD, and the other guy said, did you see it go in? People have lied. People do lie about birth control. People lie to get into each other's pants. Not just men lie or misrepresent themselves to get into people's pants. Women have too, and maybe he's paranoid. Maybe he's had a scare in the past. Maybe he has children in the past that you don't know about. Maybe he has friends who have children that they didn't intend to have. And so he wants this assurance, but it is just an assurance. You could tell him, oh, yeah, baby, I'll get the abortion if I get pregnant, and then change your mind once you're pregnant. His only control, a man's only control in an opposite sex thing when it comes to avoiding pregnancy really is kind of front loaded. He can have an opinion about the choice his partner makes once she is pregnant, if she gets pregnant, but that's her choice to make. It's her decision ultimately. And the dude in that scenario is kind of powerless. And if we know anything about straight dudes, they don't like to contemplate their powerlessness, generally. And they can act out in strange and unattractive ways when they're forced to contemplate their potential powerlessness in a situation. All that said, his body, his choice. He is allowed to have conditions, to put conditions on the circumstances under which he will put his penis in you. And apparently an IUD and a condom aren't enough for him. He requires an IUD and a condom and a promise. Seems to me that he's being not rational. He could just take the IUD and the condom for an answer, have the sex, and be comforted by the science and the data that show us that the chances of you becoming pregnant are so ridiculously vanishingly small that it just ain't going to happen. On the flip side, if you really wanted to fuck him, you could have told him, yeah, sure, I'll get the abortion, knowing yourself that there's no chance that you're going to get pregnant. And so the issue is moot. He's just being a little bit of a weirdo freak. Doesn't seem like a solid foundation on which to build an intimate relationship. Him hurling ultimatums, you telling him what he wants to hear, whether you mean it or not. So yeah, maybe you should move on. Maybe you should go fuck somebody else. Or maybe he should go fuck somebody else in the ass. Or hey, he's this concerned about it, maybe he should get a vasectomy.
Hey, Dan. I'm a 26-year-old cisgender straight male. I'm living on the East Coast. I recently started going to kink and play parties about a year ago to figure out my sexuality. And I think now I'm ready to date, but I'm having a little trouble with the apps. I know that it takes persistence to usually make these things work, but I've been on a couple of ones for about 4 months and haven't had a whole lot of luck. Is there anything else I can do to fix this, or should I just stick with socializing with people at parties?
Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing both of the things that you are doing. Keep going to the kink and the play parties and meeting and interacting with people where kink is the default setting. Kink is the baseline assumption where you don't have to come out about your kinks. You might have to lay out your kinks, specify your kinks, make sure you're on the same page kink-wise, make sure you're kink compatible. That's a conversation you're going to have, but you don't have to come out about being kinky in a kink space. At the same time, continue to put yourself out there on dating apps and meeting women the normal way. And really, that is the normal way. Dating apps, hookup apps, that is how people meet now, how majorities of people meet now, how most relationships now get their start. And with those women, you'll have to, at some point, lay your kink cards on the table and come out to them as kinky. And for a lot of people, that's really scary, because what if you get rejected? And of course, if you get rejected, that's not someone that you want to be with anyway, because you're not sexually or kinky compatible. A delightful surprise sometimes happens when you come out to someone about being kinky. Kink is not that uncommon. You may find yourself, as so many other nervous kinksters have found themselves, coming out as kinky to somebody who smiles at you and then comes out as kinky themselves. Good luck. Window treatments. One of those soulless adulting items for something necessary but boring AF, your blinds. You don't even think about blinds or curtains unless you've moved, or the ones you've got or the ones that were there when you moved in break. But when they're right, everything in your home looks better. And when they're wrong, everything in your home looks worse and cheap. But taking the time to pick out and buy blinds sounds expensive, kind of boring, and installing them yourself sounds harder than any self-respecting adult wants to admit. But Blinds.com, they make it really easy for you. Not sure what you want or even where to start? With Blinds.com, you get a free online design consultation. Just send them pictures of your house, and they send back custom recommendations from a professional for what will work with your color scheme, your furniture, and your specific rooms. They'll even send you free samples to make sure everything looks as good in person as it does online, and every order gets free shipping. And this is the best part. If you accidentally mismeasure or pick the wrong color, if you screw up, Blinds.com will remake your blinds for free. They've really made it easy for you, so there's no excuse to leave up those mangled blinds that make your place look like you live in a nasty bunker. For a limited time, get up to 20% off everything at Blinds.com when you use the promo code SAVAGE. That's Blinds.com, promo code SAVAGE, for up to 20% off everything. Faux wood blinds, cellular shades, roller shades, and more. Blinds.com, promo code SAVAGE. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, Dan. Mid-30s, cisgendered female. And my question for you tonight is, so I recently had a breakup with a boyfriend. We only dated for 9 months, but he was the first guy I really fell for since my divorce, which happened about 2 years ago, which was a good thing. I'm glad we got divorced. And then I moved into a new city, kind of dated loosely for a year, felt really great to be single, then met this guy and really fell for him. We broke up because he stopped wanting to have sex with me. And my sexual libido has been off the charts, especially for him. So we were fighting a lot and decided to break up. And so we did. And we also felt like we could try to stay friends because we were, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, but also best friends, and maybe more best friends than really boyfriend, girlfriend. And then I really had a struggle with staying friends because I would have feelings and just got so complicated that I really blew up at him and I just felt terrible. And I said some very terrible, cruel, nasty things to him about how I just couldn't be his friend and that I hated him and he's an alcoholic. And, you know, I just like brought all the skeletons out. And it was wrong, and not wrong, but just cruel. And I don't know. I still miss him, though. Is that's normal, right? To take space after a breakup? Like, we can still be friends, right? I don't know. You don't know us, so I don't know how you're supposed to answer this.
but I just feel like I need some outside perspective, some words of wisdom to help me through this difficult time.
I don't know you, so I will answer with generalities and platitudes. That's my forte. It is a good sign when people are friends with their exes. People get into trouble, though, when they try to force that friendship too soon. You do need to take some time away. You do need to let the wounds scab over and close up. And you can't do that if you're meeting up and getting together right away. I think taking 3 to 6 months, even a year, away from each other and unfollowing each other on social media has a way of keeping those wounds open as well, is the best plan if what you want to do is salvage a friendship out of the relationship, out of the romantic relationship. So instead of saying, let's be friends and then let's force it, let's go through the friend motions instantaneously while the pain is still acute and the wounds are still fresh and we have to slap smiles on our faces because we're friends. Don't do that. Say to each other, let's circle back. Let's get in touch 6 months or a year from now and we'll have lunch and we'll see if we can be friends. And you know what? If you do it that way, you are likelier to be friends after the relationship. We interrupt this episode of the Savage Lovecast to bring you a very important message. MeUndies doesn't just make the world's best underpants anymore. They also make the world's best and most comfortable lounge pants and tees. Everyone is talking about the Norwegian concept of hygge, meaning coziness and togetherness. Well, MeUndies is going to help you up your hygge game in a big way. The lounge pants are made from the same micromodal fabric as their underpants. And let me tell you, you will be in heaven when you cover your entire bottom half with a fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. And their underpants, of course, have delightful, ever-changing prints and patterns. And when you join the membership plan at MeUndies, you get all of this stuff, lounge pants, tees, and undies, everything MeUndies makes for less than anyone else. Special member pricing is just one of the many perks of joining the membership. I love these undies. Nancy loves these undies. Although Nancy reports they are causing some discord within her family as her daughters have been rifling through her underwear drawer and grabbing her MeUndies because they want to wear them. And they want to wear them, and Nancy wants to wear them, and I want to wear them, and Terry wants to wear them because they are the softest underwear any of us have ever put on. And you can get them with fun prints that match with socks or a bralette. There's a 100% satisfaction guarantee. We promise you're going to love these undies. But if you're not into a pair, MeUndies will do whatever they can to get you into the right pair. And if they can't, keep them and they'll refund you. So it really is risk-free for you to try the best underwear in the world ever. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on and support the Savage Lovecast by going to MeUndies.com. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, again, go to MeUndies.com/savage. That's MeUndies.com/savage.
Hey, Dan. I'm a single, straight, 30-year-old female calling from the Pacific Northwest. I recently started chatting with this guy I met on Tinder, and we made plans to meet up sometime next week. So somewhere in between making plans and actually seeing him, I got a text from him saying that he saw me at a concert we both apparently were at. When I asked him why he didn't come to say hi, he said that he thought it would be rude to do so while he was on a date. So, okay, don't get me wrong. I'm under no assumption that I'm the only girl he's talking to or hanging out with, but I'm just not sure if he needed to tell me that at the time. I think this would fall somewhere under the permissibility of a white lie. Unless I flat out asked him if he was seeing someone else, I think he could have gone without saying that to me, especially because I didn't even see him with the girl. I also feel a little bit like he had her feelings in mind by not coming to say hi to me when he saw me, but he had no problem telling me about her. I mean, I'm seeing other guys also, but I haven't gone out of my way to tell him that. I haven't even met up with him. It's just sort of crazy to me. I guess I'm torn about how I should feel. On one hand, he's being super honest and straight up with me, which I appreciate. But on the other hand, it feels as though he's trying to make me jealous or something. I guess it's working a little bit. Anyways, I've pulled this with a few of my friends, males included, and we're 50-50 split on what his intentions are here. What are your thoughts, Dan?
I couldn't tell you what his intentions were. I can tell you, though, that his actions were inconsiderate, clueless, thoughtless. He should have been able to anticipate how this would land. Of course you don't expect, you haven't even met this person face to face yet. Of course you don't expect you're in some sort of exclusive relationship, but that's not something that you want to hear from someone you're contemplating going on a date with. You may assume it's true. We haven't even met. He's probably seeing other people. He's on Tinder. He's probably meeting other people right now. But that's not something you tell someone. That's something you tell someone after you begin to date them exclusively. That's something you tell someone after you've moved in together, 6 months, a year into the relationship. That becomes a funny anecdote. You know, we first met on Tinder. We hadn't actually met yet. I had another date. And she, there you were in the bar while I was with this other woman. It was a sign that you were the person I was supposed to be with. A sign from God, a sign from the universe. Ha ha ha. Telling you it now, though, just going to make you question his judgment, his emotional intelligence, because he should have been able to anticipate that hearing this, being told this, would unnerve you, that hearing this, being told this, would make you wonder what his intentions might be, whether he's trying to be manipulative, trying to send you a signal, or not. And so what he told you in that moment, besides the fact that he's on a date with another woman when he saw you in the bar, at that club, at that show, what he told you in that moment was he doesn't have any goddamn common sense. And maybe that was a brain fart or a hiccup, and he generally does have better common sense and displays higher emotional intelligence than he did in that moment. Or maybe that's a very bad sign about the person that he is. Maybe he's just generally thoughtless and inconsiderate. Only one way to find out whether he's generally thoughtless and inconsiderate, and this was an aberration, which is to date him. And then on that date, when you're with him, you can ask him what the fuck his intentions were when he told you that he was on a date, when he told you that he saw you across a crowded room while he was on a date with someone else, something that would have been a hilarious thing to share with you a year into the relationship, not before you'd even met.
Thanks for ModCloth for supporting the Savage Lovecast. ModCloth is one of those new fancy-fangled online clothing stores for ladies. They offer a wide variety of women's clothing in a full size range from extra, extra large to size 4. Autumn has arrived at ModCloth. Put a stylish spin on the season with classics like a tweed blazer or a corduroy jumper, or you can load up on plaid. They have simple, comfortable fashions. But when it's time to break some hearts and get fancy, ModCloth is ready for you. I got this really nice purple dress that ended up fitting me perfectly for some reason, and it has pockets, which is a feminist issue. Their stuff is, it's really nice. I also got a pair of black leggings because I'm going through a legging phase, and yep, it's working for me. Thank you very much. Hooray for ModCloth. So for 15% off your purchase of $100 or more for one-time use, go to ModCloth, that's spelled ModCloth.com, and enter offer code SAVAGE at checkout. This helps us at the Lovecast, so just do it, and do it quickly. This offer expires on December 8th, and it's valid for one-time use only. That's ModCloth.com, ModCloth.com, and enter the offer code SAVAGE at checkout.
Hi, Dan. I'm a married man in the Midwest, straight. My wife and I have been together for a long time. We've got two kids, one 17, one 13. We have a really good sex life, and I feel great about that because I have a pretty strong sex drive, and so does my wife. So everything is good, with the exception of this one detail. My daughter has recently expressed that our sex life is bothering her because she can hear us having sex through the walls, and it's really irritating. And it's now come up 3 times. And the first time it happened, she sent a text message to us while we were having sex to say, please stop. And, of course, we didn't see that message until after we were done having sex. And we didn't think too much of it. We just thought, you know, we were making too much noise, and we would dial it down next time. But then it happened again, and she approached her aunt, who is my wife's sister, to say, listen, it's bothering me that I can hear mom and dad having sex. So I sat down with her and talked about it, and I kept it very lighthearted. I didn't take it too seriously, and I just let her know, I know it bothers you, Mom, and I will try to keep it down. And by the way, this is something parents do, and she knows that because she's 17, and we're really open about sex and having sexual conversations. So So I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But then it happened a third time. And the third time, she gave us a silent treatment. She didn't speak to us. She was really mad at us for the rest of the day. And we later found out it was because she heard us having sex again. And our door was closed, which is a signature sign that we're having sex. So I'm not quite sure if there's another approach that I should be taking to addressing. I don't want to leave her broken.
Teenagers always hate their parents for something around that age. They're on the hunt for something about mom and or dad that pisses them off, that they can be in a sulk and or a rage about. Whenever they care to deploy sulk and or rage, usually it's a manipulative strategy, whether they're fully conscious they're being manipulative or not. Yeah, here's what you do. You get her a pair of noise-canceling headphones, you get her a white noise machine, and you get her some college brochures. Not for commuter colleges, for sleepaway colleges, for places with dorms, where she can hear other people having sex all the time, none of whom, ideally, will be her parents.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 20-something female living in the Pacific Northwest. I'm in college, and this last year I went on one of the like sugar daddy dating sites in order to help pay for all the things I need to pay for. And I met a man who I started hanging out with, started getting to know. When I met him, I thought he was really nice, and we cultivated a relationship and an arrangement together in which we were having sex. And eventually, throughout, the first couple months, I realized that he was just not a good fit for me anymore. He was a huge Trump supporter, he said a lot of sexist things that made me really uncomfortable. And he definitely made our relationship all around sex, which I realize is kind of what those relationships are, but I wasn't expecting to be objectified to that level. Recently, I've been trying to kind of wean him out of my life because he gets very rationally angry. And all the times that I've tried to, cut him out of my life, he gets really mad at me and starts to, just be really rude and disrespectful and kind of indirectly threatens me. And the other night I kind of blew up at him because he was trying to visit me and he said, let's get dinner. And I was like, okay, fine, we can get dinner. And then he expected me to go to his place beforehand. And when I told him I wasn't going to have sex with him that night, he basically canceled our dinner just because of that. And so I kind of blew up at him, got mad at him, blocked his number. And then I received a text from a random number from someone who allegedly was his ex sugar baby, who essentially freaked out at me for being terrible to someone that she cared about and just started threatening me and saying that she was going to send my profile around and like send my personal information around to the people I know. And he has multiple pictures of me naked. He has a lot of my nude pictures and pictures of, us during sex and stuff like that. And I never expected him to do anything like that. So I, trusted him with those. And she basically threatened me a lot. And then I asked if I could call her and we could talk about it. And she kept saying, no, no, no. So I called the number and it sounded to me like a fake number, like a text plus number. But it sounded like I was talking to him the whole time. And the fact that whoever this person was wouldn't talk to me on the phone was super sketchy. And the whole situation was super sketchy. And basically, I just don't know what to do because he has a lot of my personal information. And I feel like I've done what I can in order to avoid him sending that out. But I just don't know what to do. So any advice you have for me would be great.
Joining me by phone to help tackle this question, Brooke Urich, spokesperson for Seeking.com, a dating website that specializes in sugar baby, sugar daddy, sugar relationships. Hey, Brooke, how are you?
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Doing great.
Thank you for coming on. This is an interesting question and not just sugar babies. Tell me about sugar babies and sugar daddies, because this is about a sugar relationship gone bad, gone sour, gone bitter. But before we get to the particulars of this woman's circumstance, tell the folks out there who aren't familiar with this term sugar baby, sugar relationships, what this is about.
Well, Seeking.com specializes in relationships that aren't always traditional. So people aren't looking for marriage. They're not looking for long-term. A lot of the sugar daddies are CEOs, businessmen who travel a lot. A lot of them are separated, divorced, have kids. Some of them are married. So they're not necessarily looking to settle down or to start over. On the converse, the sugar babies are usually in their 20s. Most of them are young women, though we do cater to LGBT relationships as well. But a lot of them are in school and university and trying to make connections, trying to get their lives started right. Mm-hmm. And this is a great way to meet men that you wouldn't normally get to meet otherwise at your normal local bar. So a lot of people use it for networking and just dating successful guys.
But there's usually a monetary exchange involved here. This is a kind of sex work in a sugar relationship.
I'd have to disagree. Seeking.com doesn't allow sex workers on the site. And it's not that I'm personally against it. I just think there are some differences. So the main difference is that it's a relationship that continues beyond just sex. So oftentimes a sugar daddy might be paying for someone's tuition, paying for their room and board. And they're doing that because they appreciate that person and they like spending time with them because they want to. Whereas, you know, if it's just an exchange of sex for money.
And because they have a sexual relationship with that person.
Oftentimes the relationships are sexual, but that's not always. I know lots of women on Seeking.com who have gotten everything they've ever wanted without having sex with someone. And that's what makes it different.
So then, but then it's kind of a paid companionship relationship, correct?
It's not an exchange of the time for the money. There's no set hourly rate. But yes, you know, if you're dating someone and you expect to be taken care of and expect to be gifted, then that's your right. And you can find a relationship like that. The main difference is, you know, sex is not the only component of the relationship.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but I would argue that, you know, I know a lot of sex workers out there who have relationships, ongoing relationships with their clients. You have even friendships, you know, work-related friendships or friendships that grew out of work with clients. And it's not just they meet in a room and they don't say anything to each other and sex happens and then they exit. There is human contact and often healing human contact for people who, you know, sex workers may be the only kind of intimacy that they feel that they can access. And those relationships are important and human, not just physical.
Yeah, absolutely. I personally am pro sex work, and I have lots of friends who, you know, provide emotional support as well as sexual support. However, all the sex workers who I know don't use Seeking.com to find their clients because that's not where you want to find clients. The men on Seeking are going to become attached to you, and it's going to become a different kind of relationship. In addition to that, there is not always sex. So sugar babies and sugar daddies have a relationship where, you know, you might be able to call someone 5 years down the road and ask for money or ask for help or ask for something without ever establishing sexual contact. And these relationships do go on for years and years because there's no breaking up. So there's no reason that anyone feels slighted. So they're just different in my opinion. And also in the sex workers who I know, in their opinion,
you say there's no breaking up. The call that we just heard, there is breaking up there. And now there's a problem with a vindictive ex sugar daddy and vindictive exes can be a problem in non-commodified, non-sex work light relationships. People have been stalked by exes. People have been the victims of revenge porn, which is the caller's concern here. Depending on where she made contact with this person, is there any accountability built into these platforms for toxic or shitty sugar daddies?
Absolutely, yes, we do take accountability, but it does have to be escalated to the proper authorities. So we're not able to give out personal identifying information to people without being reached out and being subpoenaed and it being following the legal process. So we always comply and give them everything they need.
The ex-sugar baby of someone who's being vindictive, who's threatening them, can that person be kicked off the site? Is there any low-key accountability, or does it have to involve the authorities?
Oh,
because
yes.
So, when the authorities get involved is usually when the sugar baby has been outed or violated in some way that they wanted to avoid.
Oh, absolutely. Let me clarify. If you wanted us to escalate it to giving the information out, like who that person is, that does need to go through the authorities. But as far as getting them off our site, yes, 100%. We have to suspend people every day for bad behavior. And what it takes is a member report. So if this member had met someone that they didn't like, they would go to their profile, report them, file a reason. And then we also do require that you provide proof. So in this caller's case, it seems like the proof would be the messages, the voicemails, things like that. And then automatically that person is suspended off of our site. But you know, I mean, that doesn't solve the greater issue at hand. They can't meet people on our site, but that doesn't mean that they're not a horrible person.
Some advice for the caller in her particular circumstance. Revenge porn, which is her primary concern, he has all these images and pictures and some videos, is a crime. Pushing those out there or sharing them with your employer or sharing them with friends and family or putting them on a website and making them public is a crime in 40 states in the District of Columbia. States where it's not a crime, states like Indiana and shockingly New York, need to get on the stick and make revenge porn a crime. And a letter from a lawyer saying to your ex-sugar daddy, if you abuse these photos, if you abuse my trust, here's the legal consequences. Here are the risks you're running, and I will avail myself of the law and my legal recourse here if you retaliate against me in this way. Our relationship is over, and let's part ways amicably. But if these photos are released by you, I will come for you.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because on Seeking.com, we're actually working on something called a dating agreement. And my CEO, Brandon Wade, the founder of Seeking.com, is really amped about this idea of a dating contract that would say just that. I don't know about specific state litigation, but I do know that in terms of copyright law, if you take an image of yourself, you automatically own the copyright to that image. So like, yes, the revenge porn is illegal, but you can also go after someone for copyright in those other states.
Good to know. Returning to just the topic of sugar baby, sugar daddy, or sugar mama relationships generally, I'm pro sex work. I do see this, and I know you disagree with me, I do see this as a kind of sex work. It is kind of bespoke sex work. You have most sugar babies one client instead of multiple clients, and that one client pays a premium for that exclusivity, that they're your only sex partner, and they're going to pay for that. But it is a commodified relationship. There is usually in almost all of these relationships an exchange of financial support that comes with an expectation of sexual intimacy. And
To me, that does sound like a marriage.
Yes, I think maybe that's more of a traditional view of marriage or a cynical view of marriage. Some people have made that case that a lot of marriages look like this. But the person who is paying has the power, or most of the power. There is a power, of course, to youth and beauty, but the person who is writing the checks, the person who is paying the visa bill, the person who is paying the rent or the tuition has more power in that relationship. Isn't that a concern? If you become financially dependent on someone and they reveal themselves to be inconsiderate, to have really poor hygiene, or to be violent or controlling or abusive, what's your recommendation as somebody who helps, you know, run one of these sites about extricating yourself from that relationship?
I don't think you should be ever dependent on someone, whether it's a marriage or a sugar relationship. I think people need to be independent and they need to be ready for, you know, when the gravy train stops. In terms of getting out of this kind of relationship, it's just like any other abusive relationship. You need to stop contact, file an some kind of police report, get a restraining order against this guy. If he's doing it to her, it sounds like he might be doing it to other people as well. So, you know, for any abusive relationship, I think it's all the same. But I do want to just pose a philosophical idea in terms of, you know, whether this is sex work or not. So a sex worker and her client, they both agree that they are exchanging in sex work. But someone who comes to Seeking.com is not looking for a sex worker and does not believe that they are paying for sex. On the converse, a woman on Seeking.com does not consider herself a sex worker and does not believe she's being paid for sex, in which case, you know, neither party agrees that they're exchanging in sex work. So is it sex work then if both of them would disagree?
You just sound like there's no gambling going on here. Like, I just detect or I hear a lot of sex work phobia in this parsing to avoid labeling the exchange of money in almost all cases for sex as a kind of low-bore bespoke sex work, which I believe that it is. And I don't – that there may be some people who are just looking for a friend whose rent they can pay for fun doesn't change the fact that in almost all cases in a sugar baby, sugar daddy relationship, this is money for sex.
I mean, the people who are taking part in these relationships would disagree. So it's just like a legal sort of debate. I mean, if someone doesn't think they're committing a crime and they, in their eyes, they're not, then, you know, are they? In my opinion, the people on Seeking are looking for more than just sex. They want connections. Sex is a component of relationships. And there's lots of people who don't meet on Seeking.com and still expect to get their rent paid. And they do expect to, you know, have sex in their relationships. And I don't really think that it should be labeled or there should be such a binary with it.
Brooke Urich, spokesperson from Seeking.com. Thank you so much for a really interesting conversation. I appreciate it.
Yes, I would love to come back anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll have you come back when we get a question that's the sunnier side of sugar relationships, in fairness, because you're willing to come on and talk about the downsides. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm always willing for the downsides. I love a good challenge. So anytime.
Thanks.
Hi, Dan. My husband and I are hoping that you can settle something for us. We have two kids, a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. And we are having a debate about when they are too old for us to be nude around them or, you know, only partly dressed. I think that the time is coming and that it's our job to sort of set appropriate boundaries for other, you know, our kids to have expectations of other people. My husband thinks that it's somehow tied into like body shame or, you know, them having a pot, like being sex positive. And we're not really sure. Whatever you decide, we're going to go by, because Dan Savage's word is law in our house.
I'm a pretty sex positive person, as anyone who listens to this show can attest. I never saw my parents naked. Not once. My kid saw me naked maybe twice, and only when he was very young. And in both cases, it was kind of an emergency. So I fall on the mom and dad, or dad and dad, or dad and dad and mom, and mom and dad and dad, depending if you're poly. I don't think that parents necessarily need to be naked in front of their children or should be naked in front of their children, but I have a hang up where nudity is concerned. Nudity makes me uncomfortable, says the guy who runs the porn festival. It kind of does. And being naked in front of a child, my own child, would make me uncomfortable. And hopefully I didn't communicate that discomfort to my own kid. I tried to be chill and relaxed about it as best as I could, but I remained fully clothed throughout my years of parenting. And I recommend that other parents do the same. But I know that people have differing opinions about nudity within the family, just casual, matter-of-fact, body positive. Here's mom's body, here's dad's body, around the house, stepping out of the shower, getting dressed, whatever. But you asked me to lay down the law, and in my house, the law is put some fucking shorts on.
Hi, I'm calling about the woman who didn't want to have sex after watching a scary movie. And I just want to call bullshit on the assumption that everyone wants to fuck after seeing blood and guts all over the place. I know I don't. After I watch a scary film, I am way too busy staring at the windows and the doors, waiting for Jason or Freddy or whoever to come in and chop me up with a machete. And the last thing I want to do is have sex when I'm in that state of mind. So I would say ask this woman what she considers sexy and be patient. Maybe she just likes to take it slow. Not everyone wants to fuck on the first date or the first month.
Hi, Dan. This is in response to the gentleman whose wife accidentally shared poly BDSM photos with their 9-year-old daughter. Thank you for giving him advice to explain, apologize, then shut up. Between the ages of about 9 and 11, my mother was not able to or didn't bother to hide her sexual experiences with her husband from me. I understand now that she was just a horny human in her 30s, but at the time I did not know that she was not being hurt or doing something gross. It took me 10 years to overcome these minor traumas. And I was angry at her for years for not explaining or at least apologizing for not better hiding it from me. So yeah, explain, apologize, and move on. But above all, apologize.
Hey, Dan. So I love your advice about not sharing information with his parents about his ED and any other specific issues that he's having related to his sexuality and his high blood pressure. But I think you may have missed something. In the second part of his question, he talks about being satisfied in a different way. And I have a feeling that this guy is experimenting probably with the opposite sex, or perhaps experimenting in a way that wouldn't necessarily be traditionally heterosexual. And so I think maybe he needs some advice associated with that. I don't think he necessarily needs to talk to his parents about it, but at the end of the day, it's his life. He shouldn't feel any sort of shame or any sort of anxiety around experimenting sexually. What happens in the bedroom stays in the bedroom, and hopefully he's finding great ways to work around his sexuality and his newfound freedom now that he is experiencing these biological and medical difficulties. So good luck to you, and good luck to everybody else who's out there having these issues.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. Go to itmfa.org or impeachthemotherfuckeralready.com to order yourself some ITMFA gear, t-shirts, hats, buttons, and now hoodies, all with ITMFA blazoned across them. It is fun. People ask you what ITMFA stands for, and you get to tell them impeach the motherfucker already. And all proceeds benefit the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and the International Refugee Assistance Project. Hump, my amateur porn film festival, is out on the road this weekend. Hump is in Austin, Texas, Brooklyn, New York, and there's a very special Best of Hump show in Washington, D.C., where you can watch all of our very favorite films from the last 10 years. Head over to humpfilmfest.com/tour to get tickets. And there are still tickets available to the brand new 14th annual Hump Film Festival. It's the 13th annual, but still touring. We are kicking off the 14th annual festival. All new films, and you'll get to vote for your favorites to win thousands in cash prizes, including the $10,000 Best in Show Award at the premiere of Hump 2018 in Seattle, Portland, Olympia, and new this year, San Francisco. Go to humpfilmfest.com to get your tickets. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian, who I want to thank very much for coming on with me at the top of this week's show. And me and Nancy and the tech-savvy at-risk youth will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.